This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Ola, it's Miles. Thank you guys for listening to the Men's Room Daily Podcast.
Have you heard our newest podcast? It's called The Greatest Story Never Told.
Download it today on radio.com. Be sure to subscribe. New episodes are uploaded every Tuesday at noon.
Unfortunately, what you're about to hear is real. The members of this radio program are simply not that bright, or what some people would call educated. They are merely stupid. They're not trying to offend anyone on purpose. And all have played doctors on TV. You have been warned and are cordially invited to join the party. This is the Men's Room.
Forget it, man, and get with the countdown. Get with the countdown. Shake this square world and blast off for Kicksville. Kicksville. The trippers, the grasshoppers, the hip ones, all gathered in secrecy and flying high as a kite.
This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill. You know what they say, shake your radio more than three times, and you're playing with it. You're listening to the Men's Room.
And away we go. Welcome to season 16, episode number 3,490.
Ding.
Along with Steve the Throw Hill. Three, Chad Smith.
And my cock. Montgomery.
And you are the Men's Room. On tap today, it is a random question. Your guess is as good as mine. Categories: the most fun states in America and your favorite breakfast cereals. We will play Profile This, plus headlines and Men's Room Shout of the Day, fun with listener emails, and everyone's favorite TV Time with Ted.
Click, clack, you're getting drunk.
All right, here we go. Florida woman goes into a Circle K and gives the clerk the old vertical smile. Because of pandemic, the Girl Scouts have some unsold cookies, as in a 15 million box pile. Police find a dead bear in a parking lot on Staten Island near a Dollar Tree. A mom tries to paint a wall pattern in her living room, but looks like more where a man would pee. And a man is arrested for DUI. He poops in the squad car. They book him in the booking room. He poops there, and then poops there again. That is all coming on today's very special episode of The Men's Room.
And now, here's the question.
Hola, bitches. Good day to you and yours. All right, let's get serious for a minute. What is the biggest threat to the United States? Wrong. The answer is obviously unsatisfied fast food customers. That's right. Whether it's a broken ice cream machine, too early to order from the lunch menu, not enough ketchup packets, or some other biblical affront to our $5 expectations, unsatisfied fast food customers have become a budget cult in their own right. And what's their weapon of choice? Well, poop. Case in point, a cashier out of Taco Bell in Georgia was sprayed with poop and pee when an angry customer doused her with the contents of a water bottle. Now, why this person had poop and pee readily available in a squeeze bottle, we do not know. But they did, and they weren't afraid to use it. But fecal retaliation is not limited to just those that have been wronged by fast food. As Miles pointed out, drunk drivers, they're now getting in on the action as well. We go to New Hampshire, where a man was arrested for DUI, and in the back of the patrol car, he released his bowels, pooped in the car, but he wasn't done. When they got him to the police station, he pooped on the floor, and he still wasn't done. When they moved him to a different part, of the same station. He pooped on that floor. And on it goes. By the way, in addition to DUI, he was charged for each fecal incident. Just know that. And in fact, it pissed them off so bad that in spite of it being a DUI, turns out if you poop on the floor three times, cops go, you know what? Not only get three in jail, you don't even get bond for a DUI. You want to get rid of your bond? Poop on the floor. They go, the hell with this. You're staying. But these are just some of the stories that we've come across. Stories that left us with many questions. Questions we'd like to ask you in the form of our random question. And this is how it works. You call us. We ask you a question at complete random. And after you share your story, we will share with you the news story that inspired said question.
Be part of the big show on the random question. Call 206-421-ROCK. Like the Men's Room on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Men's Room Live. And send those emails to themensroom@kisw.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The Men's Room returns with Miles and Thrill, 99.9 KISW.
All the y'all said, away we go. Welcome to season 16, episode number 3,490. What a large and a charge program we have for you today. Guaranteed future repeat. Dennis Bell. On tap today, the exciting return of your guess is as good as mine. Picked a couple great categories for us today.
All right.
As people are getting back to travel here in the United States, I have the top 10 fun states to visit. The fun right. states that you can visit. So to give you an idea, out of the 50 states, which state do you believe is the least fun state to visit in all of the United States of America?
West Virginia.
This is fascinating. It is West Virginia.
Oh, hey.
It is not a place you want to go. Either way.
There's a lot of places you don't want to. I mean, one thing I can say for West Virginia, look, I've been there. It is not my favorite spot, but there's a lot of places that aren't. However, it did have that little ski resort. So my cousin got married there, and it was a good time.
Yeah, I
can't speak for the entire rest of the state, but at least had that.
These states offer such a variety of activities that everyone will be able to find something that excites them. So with that in mind, we have the top 10 funnest states that you can visit. Then we have, for you, Steve, the top 10 favorite breakfast cereals. Breakfast cereals, the ones that people love the most.
The ones that people love the most are the ones that people buy the most, right? Because you get torn, like... I know what I should be eating at 52, and it's not Cinnamon Toast Crunch, according to my doctor. I don't know if they know what they're talking about. They recommend things, and there's nothing wrong with Cheerios, and there's Cheerios in my cabinet, but I go for the Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Sure. Yeah, and you know what? Those are all good options. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you look at the back of any minivan out there, you're going to find a Cheeto someplace.
Oh, guaranteed.
You know, they're them and Goldfish probably hanging out together underneath the seat someplace. So those are your categories coming up, the most fun states and your favorite breakfast cereals on Your Guess Is As Good As Mine. And today is the day of our random question, 206-421-ROCK.
Random. Hello, JD. Random, welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
JD, welcome to the program. Random question. Let's see here. All right, let's start with this one. This is a good thing to start with. JD, what do you think is the one thing that you will always be known for? Maybe it's from your parents' side, could be your friends. It would be the story that they would always tell about you. If maybe you were coming into a situation and no one knew you. Hey, my buddy JD's coming over. He's the guy that one time did this.
And sometimes it changes. I used to be known as a guy that would stuff quarters under his nose for beer. Then I became the kidnapper. Mm-hmm. You know, it changes.
So what would you say that you're most known for?
So that's a pretty good one. In my hometown, I'm from Belfair, Washington. And I was in middle school. I think it was back in 2009, maybe 2008. Figured it'd be a good idea to take some duct tape to school. So This is all stuff that people have told me, because I wrap myself in duct tape from my shoulders all the way down to my ankles, and next thing you know, I hop out into the commons area at lunch, and someone pushes someone else into me. I fall over, and I fracture my skull.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So you don't recall this?
No. So the only memory I really have of that day is walking through the middle school just about, I don't know, between first and second period with the duct tape in my hand. And lunch is after third period, so I missed that hour. And then I woke up in the hospital about 36 hours later. They put me into an induced coma, intubated me, airlifted from our...
You really messed yourself up, didn't you?
Harbor View. Oh, yeah. I mean, I had a... You could almost fit a baseball over by next to the swelling of my eye socket.
Did you?
And it was right on my eye.
Are there any long-lasting repercussions? Because, again, this is all the result of a decision you made.
Yep. A decision I don't even remember making.
Obviously. And then, again, you know, like, I've never been on a helicopter. You have. But our memories of that ride are the same.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you got a cool helicopter ride. The thing was probably flying. But you don't remember any of it.
I didn't remember it. No.
Yeah, that sucks.
I got a $20,000 helicopter ride, but I don't even recall.
What, when they finally sent you home, what were the things you had to deal with? I mean, was there any rehabilitation or what?
So, now there's no residual damage, neurological damage. I do have scar tissue on my brain, but it doesn't affect me in a cognitive tense, whatever that scientific word is.
The way you just said it, you might want to get a second opinion.
Did you drool when you said that?
Yeah, no. It
does not affect my cognition.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's...
Cognizance.
So, like, do people like bring it up who know you from growing up, like on your Facebook page or something like that? Like, hey, man, remember that time you took...
It's not really common. People don't bring it up to me in my face. I don't like talking about it. But, you know, when someone referring to me, especially back in my hometown, it's like, oh, it was a kid who got airlifted.
Okay, but you didn't earn a nickname off of it or anything?
No, not really. I mean, the only nickname that I got was in high school football, and that kind of stuck around for a little bit, but it had nothing to do with the head injury.
I'd have called you Donald Ducked.
Yeah, that's a great thing to do. Get a head injury, then go play a contact sport where you jam your head into other people's heads. What? Okay, let me ask you this. You wake up from this, and you're in the hospital, and you're in Seattle. Do you remember what you did at that time? Do you remember how you got there?
So, no, I don't remember how I got there, but I did come conscious when I was getting moved from the ICU to a general room. And I just remember flashes of, you know, you're on your back looking up at the hospital ceiling and you get the lights. And I got flashes of that. And then I look around for a second and I see nurses and doctors and my mom crying her eyes out. And so when I finally came to, I kind of had a good idea that I wasn't waking up from, you know, going to bed. You know,
yeah, right.
Obviously not in a situation where that would happen. So I was like, it kind of sucked because I was also strapped because I was very combative.
Did they use duct tape or do they use regular hospital harnesses? I figured, like, he's got a duct. Okay, so, you said that you got knocked, somebody else pushed someone intentionally into you, which knocked you down, led to all of this. So the person that pushed the person, did they get in any kind of trouble for this?
No, he got away with it. I ended up hanging out with him a little bit in high school, not in a nice sense. I met him a couple times, and I had some choice words to say. And
well, that's fair.
How long were you in the hospital?
I was there for 2 nights.
Okay, that's not the worst in the world. All right, that's
so
crazy.
Yeah,
man.
And, they almost had a drill into my skull and everything to relieve the pressure, and you know, the whole nine.
You know, I will say this: that's probably true. That is probably true. But anyone that has ever gone to the doctor in an emergency situation, they always tell you what they almost had to do, right? They could have saved your life where your heart got knocked out of your chest and ran 100 yards, found it, and put it in. They would still tell you what else they almost had to do. So at some point, like, did you really almost have to do this, or do they have like a script where it does, it keep getting your tonsils out, mm-hmm. and then for whatever reason, like, we know we were just taking out your tonsils, but we almost had to take out your left eyeball because of this. It's never just, hey, right. this is what we set out to do. Everything went smoothly, off you go. They always let you know how you almost could have died.
Reason we ask, what's the one thing will you always be known for? Ned Beatty, who was one of the most well-known character actors of the past 5 decades. He passed away yesterday morning at the age of 83. Believe it or not, Deliverance was his acting debut.
Lucky
in 1972.
Him.
He did go on to play such roles as the Miami DA in All the President's Men, Lily Tomlin's lawyer, husband in Nashville. He was the sidekick of Lex Luthor in the original Superman.
He had a name. It was Otis.
Otis, yes. And in the 1980 sequel, what else is he on? Law and Order, Roseanne, CSI, MASH, Toy Story 3. He voiced something. He was also
Dude, it's Toy Story 3. He was it Lasco? Was that the guy? Lasto, mm-hmm. He was the
Lotso Love Bear.
Lotso Love Bear, right? The absolute foil in Toy Story 3.
He was also known for Homicide: Life on the Street, yeah. which was a show that was filmed in Baltimore for a while. He died of natural causes in his sleep while surrounded by family at his home. But one thing about Ned Beatty is, if you know who Ned Beatty is, the only reason that you know who Ned Beatty is because you go back to Deliverance.
His acting, the dude acted for over 50 years. His credits are, if you go through his IMDb, it's unbelievable. Well, that's not how anyone's going to remember.
And it's one of those scenes where I believe at the time when that came out, that shocked people more than Psycho. That shocked people more than, you know, any horror movie, The Exorcist, they'd ever seen. You know, it terrified people. And it was just a scene in the middle of nowhere in Georgia where Ned Beatty gets sodomized by a couple guys who live out in the middle of the woods. Mm-hmm. So, but that, I mean, the idea of just going on a peaceful canoeing trip down a river, and the next thing you know, he's hogtied. That stuck with people to the point where I had a buddy who I worked with for a number of years, and he's an actor, and he still does voice acting. He mostly does narrations now, but at any rate, he did a lot of bit parts. And strangely enough, Baltimore has some areas with cobblestone streets and older looking buildings, and they get away with a lot of things there as far as filming. You could have a scene where you're recreating something in London. They can find a place in Baltimore to film that.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
French Revolution. Because it's on the East Coast, so you get all that kind of architecture, yeah. Flooding.
Old stuff. You know what I mean? They could film. So they did that a lot there because it was a lot more affordable. So, and Homicide: Life on the Street was filmed there. As you know, The Wire was filmed there. They've already got the production crews and everything. So they do a number of things in that area. My buddy Johnny was in 12 Monkeys, mm-hmm. but he also had 3 different character roles on Homicide: Life on the Street. And he also did some stuff on The Wire as well. But when you got on the set of Homicide, you were not allowed to talk to Ned Beatty about Deliverance. Simply because
he's tired.
That was his one request. And everybody, and the weird thing about it is, when that's your one request, it goes from nobody really knowing that you really care about it to every single person knowing that you have an issue with this, right? So
he had an issue with it, though, because everyone, he met, it can be anything.
Anybody come up to him and go, squeal like a pig.
Squeal like a pig.
Squeal like a pig.
I bet you squeal. I bet you squeal like a pig. Oh, squeal. Squeal now. Squeal. 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 Squeal louder.
That stuck with him for his entire life.
But on the bright side, that your acting debut was memorable.
Yeah.
Most actors can't say that.
Here's the, I think I've told the story before. Here's the most messed up thing about Johnny, right? He also did some, Unsolved Mysteries. Now, what Unsolved Mysteries would do, I think it was with Robert Stack, they would recreate situations that had happened. Sometimes it was like back in the 1700s, sometimes it was last year. But he was a character actor on that show. Mm-hmm. He had to carry a card in his wallet that said, look, I'm a character actor, because people would watch that. And if he played a killer, they would think that they filmed the actual killer on the show, and that's him. You know, they...
Right.
They don't even realize that this is... And they say, like, this is a reenactment. Like, he's really not Paul Revere or whatever the hell you think it is.
Right.
But he had to carry this card around and said, like, look, man, I'm an actor. I'm not the guy. Because people go, there he is. There's the guy that killed that person. Like, no,
but
you
But I mean,
don't.
They call 911 is the problem.
Well, yeah, exactly.
So it's not like people go up to someone who you think is a serial killer. Because you think they're a serial killer. But you're drinking a cup of coffee and, like, 18 police come barging into Starbucks and their guns are aimed at you. Like, dude, I know why you're here. I'm not the guy.
Yeah.
I'm an actor.
Right.
That's why they have me on tape doing it, but no one busted me. Did you notice that my 27 killings, they had quote-unquote video of all of them, and you see right. me clearly. I'm an actor.
Yeah. And he was also in a scene right after the scene with the, was it the head in the box with 12 monkeys?
Yeah.
A couple
things. No, that's seven.
Seven, that's what it was. Seven. Whatever. The movie that was filmed in Baltimore where they put the head in the box, he was in that one. He was in a couple other ones. But, you know, like, it was just bizarre, the interactions he'd had with people. Like, I know you. Where do I know you from? Mm-hmm. I know you. You know, and he, Johnny started rattling off stuff, and then, nope, that's not it. Nope, that's not it. But
you know what? You feel stupid. I did this drug. I was in Mexico, man. And, I mean, there's no one on the street. I'm walking down the boardwalk. I'm with my wife, and there's this dude about my age, and he's walking toward us, and he's with his slightly older mother, okay? So we walk by. We make eyes for 1 second, and I'm like, I got to say something. I got to say. I'm like, hey, excuse me, man. I'm like, where do I know you from? But in my mind, it's not because he acts. It's because I have met this guy, okay? So he's playing it cool, and he's like, I don't know, man. Have we met? And I said, well, do you live in Seattle? He's like, no, man, I live in California. I'm like, man, I know that I've met you before. And then his mom's kind of playing along, like, well, where do you think you know my son from? I said, ma'am, I don't know, but I know you're from somewhere. Whatever. We end up parting ways. I do not remember his name, but he was on a show called... I believe he was on the show Castle, all right? And then for every husband of every wife out there, he is now whoever the dude is who's married to Mandy Moore on We Be This, which is a massively huge show. So my wife watches this show, and when it debuts a couple of years ago, this dude pops up, and I'm like, Jesus Christ, that's a guy in Mexico. And she's like, yeah, I didn't piece it together yet. And I'm just like, man, I know you're from somewhere. He was very gracious.
Yeah.
Very nice guy. Never occurred to me he was an actor.
And you never, and half the time you never know. I was hiking in Puerto Rico, and I told you we were in the middle of this national forest, and I mean, it's pouring down rain. The weather is horrible. All I know is the guide said, be wary of these huge ass snakes, and they got big bugs and all this stuff, right. And it's just humid, man. And you put a, you know, it's pouring down rain, but you put a poncho on, and now you're just sweating underneath it. You know what I mean? You can't, it's just, it's miserable.
Not a lot of fat people in Costa Rica.
It's miserable. And we pass this couple, and I'm on one side of the trail, and kind of have to slide over a little bit to let them get through, and all I hear is my wife go, that is Andrew Shue. And I was like, who the hell's Andrew Shue? You know, and I said it loud enough like that. You know what I mean? And he turned around, looked at me, and I was like, who's else ran Andrew?
What was he in that we're supposed to know?
Like, I don't know if he was in Melrose Place. His sister is...
His sister's Elizabeth Shue.
Is Elizabeth Shue.
Yeah.
Now, I know
Karate
who she
Kid,
is.
Baby.
Right, I know who she
I
is.
Care about her brother.
But her brother was like in Melrose or...
Yeah.
I don't know.
Something that you don't
I'm
watch.
I'm like, why the hell do you think the guy from Melrose Place is hiking down the trail? Turns out he was staying in our hotel, so I saw him the next day at the pool. I was like, oh, all right.
Oh, hey.
That's the guy. And she's like, yeah. He's got six toes. I was like, what do you mean he's got six toes? Or he's got something messed up with his feet or some crap. Like,
why does she know all of this?
Because she got online and was looking all the information up about him. She's like, look at his feet. He's wearing flip-flops. I was like, I don't think that's him, man. Turns out it was him.
More of the Random Question coming up 206-421-ROCK.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
99.9 KISW.
Yeah!
You're in the men's room.
Random question, 206-421-ROCK.
Random.
Hello,
random,
Jess. Random, welcome to the men's room.
Random. Hola.
Jess, how are you? Welcome to the random question.
Doing great. And just real quick, Miles, I wanted to thank all you guys, especially you for the birthday shout out last week. I was telling Mike I requested over a few years in a row for the you saying hello Shane on my birthday.
Oh, cool. Glad I could
so
hook
you
up with
for
that. Sure.
That was awesome. Thank you so much.
All right. It wasn't that hard to make people happy, is it?
Well, if I remember right, are you the one where you basically missed out on the last 3 years and still didn't quite get what you were looking for? No, someone else. All right, good.
Let's go with this one. How many different meals do you think you can make without a recipe?
Ooh, I love to cook, but am I mistaken? Is Ted Smith not there right now?
He's not there.
There's
right
no
now.
Head chef to help you.
Dang. Okay. Well, I can't ever light a match to his talent. But if I were to be honest, I would say I can definitely make at least 10 meals without a recipe.
Okay.
Grew up kind of old timey, you know, family, mom, grandma, great grandma recipes, that kind of stuff.
Like what though? I mean, what am I eating then? You go, all right, we're going recipe free. Come on.
Fried chicken, meatloaf, homemade sourdough bread, German dark rye.
So you can make bread without a recipe. You know the exact amount of yeast or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, you have to. Well, I mean, it depends on what kind of bread you're making, but typically, yeah. I mean, if you have the basic staples, you know, you've got the sourdough starter. It's relatively easy. I guess it also depends on the altitude, you know, the climate, that kind of thing. But bread isn't really difficult.
I feel like I'm decently competent in the kitchen, and then in the baking world, I am absolutely blind. I have no idea what's going on in that. It's too precise for me.
Yeah, it is. I need to be, you know, to say a pinch of, or maybe I want a handful.
Now, Mike, you and Cass will get into the debate of whether you're cooking or heating food up.
Correct.
All right, so how many meals do you think that you can make without a recipe?
Let's see, I can do that one.
What is that one?
Two. It's one that I actually plan on making tomorrow to put in the crock, but it's a chicken enchilada soup that I can do. I feel like I can do sloppy joes. It's legit. It's actually a recipe that my mom set down. And then
is that a can of tomato paste involved?
It does have sloppy joe. It does. Nope. Thinking of it on the spot here.
I bet I could do about 100.
Think 100?
I definitely could do 100. I can do anything with what I have. I can make something with what I have. The problem with that is
but can you name what it is? I mean, like, yeah, I can absolutely open my cabinet, and whatever we have, mm-hmm, I can make a meal. To me, that's no problem. But there's no specific thing that it is. You know what I mean?
Okay, for an example, I can make lasagna from scratch. I don't need to have a recipe to make lasagna. I mean, it might not be the same every time, but that's just like one dish. And I think about like Italian food.
But it's does that count?
I can make like, well, no, look, it does.
If you can make an Italian dish, to me, that's one dish.
Okay, well, that's 20.
That's saying,
I think 20 of them
I can
are probably
make Mexican
Italian
food. Right.
I can make homemade pizza.
Because if you can make one, you can make all of them. Right, so, exactly. Yes, I can make Mexican. I can make Italian.
I can make a chili.
If you can make a good chili.
Yeah, but chili is the same thing. You're just throwing stuff in a pot.
Yeah.
And chili's never is the same twice unless you actually go from a recipe.
And even then, somehow, it's not quite the same.
Chicken marsala. I can make like 100 different kinds of chicken and fish.
I mean, yeah, if you give me Italian, sure.
Right.
If you give me Mexican, absolutely.
You can make a good big chicken dish, some rice.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that.
Of course you can have rice.
Well, but I always get those bag rices where you cook them for like 90 seconds, mm-hmm, or, you know, whatever it is, Uncle Ben's. Or
no, not
or
me, man. I go straight out of the pod.
Oh, you do? You make your own rice?
I do, yeah.
Why? It's just, so in my experience.
Tastes better.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
I can't tell the difference in taste, and therefore, you know, because we used to do the rice away from the pot, and I felt like there's that weird 2-minute window where it either turns to hell or you undercooked, mm-hmm, it, right? But with those bag things, I'm like, you know what? You know what? Here it is. Because you will eat plain white rice and add butter. I never just eat plain rice. Maybe I can tell the difference, but if I have rice, it's going to get mixed with something, right?
Sure.
If I'm doing jambalaya or something like that, so I don't need good
rice.
Not
only that, but there's like no less than 10 Thai places in Fremont. So if I need rice, I can just walk into any place and get a thing of rice for like $2. So to me, like, they make rice in like a rice maker.
Have you done that to cheat? Like, I want rice in my dish. Just drop $2
at
the Thai place.
I'll just stop on my way home. Like, I know I got chicken in the refrigerator, but I'm not taking the time to make white rice, and I want white rice tonight. So, like, I'll just
$2.
I also make a mean grilled cheese.
What kind of cheese?
Honestly, I've been using some shredded three cheese here.
All right, shredded is important.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
I think Gouda is important.
And not to mention that recipe, you can look it up any way that you want to, but that recipe will not tell you how brown is correct.
I think that's all up to the part. Like for me, a lot of times when I make grilled cheese now, I coat the outside of the bread with Parmesan as well. Right? Right. It's just a small thing, but
some people use mayonnaise instead of butter. There's a lot of different weird things that people do.
Maybe we need to do that. Just have the grilled cheese off. Like, you use the mayonnaise, I'll do the Parmesan, whatever the hell, and just see which one we like best.
Well, who used to show up at our Red Festivals? Was it the grilled cheese experience?
Grilled cheese experience,
man. They made a damn good grilled cheese sandwich.
That's called the grilled cheese experience. I mean,
right there in the name.
The reason we asked how many meals could you make without a recipe, everyone felt really proud, apparently, of their cooking skills after about 6 days in lockdown. They asked how well would you do without, a cookbook or the internet to help you out. Well, someone polled over 10,000 Americans, asked them how many meals that they can make without looking at a recipe. And 25% of us, it's less than four.
Wow.
So if those people had to make dinner for a week, they'd have to double up on three of those meals. 31% said they can make between 4 and 10 maybe without a recipe. 40% said more than that. 6% of adults said they cannot make anything without a little bit of help. That's about 1 in 17 people who absolutely just don't know how to cook.
Forgot my giant pot of spaghetti, too. And I do make my own sauce. This one does not come out of a can or a jar or anything like that. I actually do get all the different the tomato sauce and paste, and I put the seasoning in and all that.
That goes a long way. I don't know if you do this, but...
Someone texted in and says, if you don't do it, add brown sugar to spaghetti sauce.
Brown sugar?
Mm-hmm. I'm sure not copious
amounts. If you like it sweet.
Amounts.
Yeah, I've heard that too. It's just sweet sauce has never been really my thing.
And if you a lot of times it depends, right? Because if you're putting your mirepoix, say, if you're going to make your sauce, a lot of times the brown sugar goes in with that. You're not really going to taste it as something sweet, but a lot of those vegetables taste... They fight more to the forefront of your sauce.
Yeah. And depending on the tomatoes. If you're using like really fresh tomatoes, which, you know, if you've ever canned or jarred tomatoes, a lot of times that gets really acidic. So sometimes a coffee grounds, believe it or not.
Not a whole cup. Depends on how much. But yeah, coffee works.
Throw that in there.
It needs the acidity. You won't taste the coffee at all. It just gets rid of the acidity. So when you get old like us and everything causes heartburn.
I need heavy whipping cream.
You just put it in like a tea bag, or do you actually just put it in there and let it mix it?
You can a tea bag. Or you can actually dump the coffee directly in.
All right.
If it's made. You can use the grounds, put it in a tea bag. If the coffee's already brewed, you can just pour it in.
Cool.
Someone here says, I made a 6-cheese mac and cheese with smoke pulled pork over the weekend.
Oh,
golly, man. And then someone else says, mayonnaise on grilled cheese sounds disgusting.
You know, I've never tried it, listen, so I don't know. But people swear by it.
It does sound disgusting. It absolutely sounds disgusting, but it's not. Just remember the one thing about mayonnaise, especially once you start cooking it, it's just eggs.
Yeah.
You know, all it does is bind things. It's really, I know how it sounds. And trust me, about 10 years ago, people started, try mayonnaise on this, this, and this. Different stuff I'm cooking. I'm like, F you. Then finally did it. And I'm like, this is a game changer, man.
What is the, is it the Monte Cristo? The sandwich that
yeah,
is
just
like
a
kinda,
big old heart attack.
With the bread is dipped in egg and then also some mayonnaise.
Yeah.
So it can't be too far off from that.
Random. Someone else points out the brown sugar cuts down on the acid in the tomato sauce as well.
Okay.
Now you know. Cooking tips from everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Wes. Welcome to the men's room.
Ahoy, Crunchberries!
Hola!
Hola!
Yeah, boy. Welcome to the show, the Random Question. Okay, let's go to this one. What would you say is your the worst customer service interaction you've ever had, either as an employee or someone who was just a customer?
Man. So, when I was in college, I had this really good customer. He'd always come in, he had a white German Shepherd. He'd come in and he would speak German to the German Shepherd. And And the German Shepherd was great. He never had it on leash, never, you know, had to worry about it. And I always knew him. I was like, hey, man, nice to see you. And then his daughter and her friend came in. And I always stocked and fronted all the liquor. And so I look up. And they were walking around the store, and it's called a Brown Derby liquor, and I see a bottle missing, and I was like, okay, and so I had to like stop them at the front of the store and be like, hey, I think that bottle's in your purse, and the girls were like, no, it's not in our purse, and I was like, look, dude, I know your dad, like, just pull the bottle out, like. And just go home. And he came in the next day, and I was the jerk. So,
well, did they take the bottle out?
Yeah, they took the bottle out and handed me the bottle of Sky Vodka, and
I'm like, look, I'm not being a d-bag.
You can't steal stuff from the store.
Yeah, it's just a weird rule we have. Right. Curmudgeon-y bosses, like, hey, make them pay for the products we sell. But he gave you grief because you stopped his daughter because she was going to steal from the store.
I was just like, hey, at least pick a better bottle of vodka. Like, come on.
Yeah. I think...
At least pull some Tito's or something.
You know, but think about how much that tells you about this family dynamic, all right? Because I'm imagining my kid coming home and telling me, hey, Dad, you know the story you go to all the time? Yeah. Well, me and my buddy were going to steal whatever it is. Like, okay. And they caught us, all right. And they made us give the bottle back. You would not have heard a word from me, but my kid would have had his ass torn up. I mean, so you think about the fact that this girl has been so spoiled in her life that she doesn't have a problem telling her dad, hey, man, I was trying to shoplift, and this a-hole prevented me from being a criminal, and then to drive there and give you grief, that tells you everything you need to know.
Yeah. There are certain places.
Right. Well, I call myself more of a D, not an a-hole. You know,
I apologize. Okay, yeah. All right, but you're the D. My parents would have murdered me my mom would have killed me because I tried to steal something, right? She'd have been mad about it. My dad would have been mad at me 50% because I tried to steal something and 50% because I'm so stupid that I told him that I was trying to steal something. That's a weird father thing.
Right.
Like, if you're smart, I don't know about this. That's called getting away with one. And
right.
if she
and like my mom would have come with the Rocky Balboa because she was a lefty and just like clocked me right in the side of the jaw.
Yeah, totally different experience on my end as well.
Yeah, so I would have been
grounded for a while.
But well, I wouldn't have been because I would not tell my parents. That's one. Like sometimes understand when you got a good one.
Sure,
because you know my parents, you're at least not going to make this a bigger problem.
Yeah, when we got here in 2005, it was a little bit different from the East Coast. The East Coast has got that FU mentality, but there's no real meanness to it. You know what I mean?
It's just what people say.
It's efficiency. It's just like let's go. Hurry up.
Right. Hurry up.
Some of those places, like when you step up to the counter at certain places, you better know what the hell you want. They'll send you to the back of the line
in a heartbeat.
They don't have time for your crap. It's that kind of mentality. Where when we came to Seattle, and this was more old Seattle, not what you see now, but back in 2005, there was a handful of places that were just FU.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, FU. Like, it was the weirdest thing, you know what I mean, to go to a place and be like, no, seriously, FU. This is supposed to be like the friendly city, right? But there was just this old school vibe of like, I hate you and I do not want to serve you, but this is my job that I can't stand and I'm going to do it anyway. It was like five or six of those places.
I think the place you're thinking of, Top of Mind.
There's a lot of
them.
There was a lot of them.
They've recently relocated, all right? And so I'm looking for something else, and the name of this place pops up, and I'm like, huh. So they've changed locations is the thing, all right? They've changed locations. It's a new building. And this place notoriously just has petty, 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 horrible employees. And it's not even a great place, right? So I decided to read the Yelp reviews, which I rarely do on any place because I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
But in this case, it's about the spirit of the place, not the quality of food or anything like that. Not only are the reviews roughly the same as it was back then, this place, mm-hmm. right? They are worse. So they have gone to a new location, and apparently the bouncer they have hired, he is not. It is. Do yourself a favor.
Just look at it.
Google it. You will see. I'm not going to go through the whole thing here. So I'm not going to throw him under the bus.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
it
yeah.
was. I could not believe, like, this place is worse than it was.
Mm-hmm.
This is unreal. So the bouncer, like, when you walk in, apparently this guy and multiple people, like, this guy says horrible, really horrible, heinous things. And you haven't done anything yet.
Right. It's the craziest thing ever. Reason asked, what was your worst customer service interaction? A Taco Bell customer. He tossed a bottle filled with human waste through the restaurant's drive-thru window, according to Georgia police, who are seeking the public's help in identifying, it's a female suspect. Investigators report that the woman was involved in a late-night dispute with workers last Thursday at the Taco Bell in Augusta. It was about 11:30 at night. The woman initially leaned out the rear passenger window of a silver sedan and tried to douse a worker with liquid she squeezed from a plastic bottle.
Why does she have that?
The bottle, cops say, was filled with urine and feces.
Yeah.
The suspect then threw the bottle into the Taco Bell through the drive-thru window, prompting the place to close for 2 hours so that the employees could sanitize the premises. Police say the suspect then fled in a vehicle, which was driven by a man and may have had South Carolina plates. Suspect is described between 18 and 25 years old, last seen wearing glasses and a white tank top. I wonder how the hell she got that in that bottle. Cops have not offered a theory as to why the woman was traveling with a container brimming with the human waste slurry when she arrived at Taco Bell, but they have yet to catch her.
What is going on in the fast food world? I mean, keep your expectations in check, man. You're dropping $10. The person behind the counter doesn't get paid enough to care, and it's fast food.
No, that's 11:30.
And I understand, like, you might be upset that something happened. I guess it's more people's reaction to what has happened.
Not
blows my mind.
Be happy you can go get food at 11:30.
Yes.
You know what I mean? I know down in Georgia and South Carolina they have Waffle House, but if you want to talk, you want to talk it. More of the random question coming up, 206-421-ROCK.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy,
celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.